Welcome to Expert Second Opinion, optimizing the use of immunotherapy, MRD assessment, and other novel approaches for patients with localized colorectal cancer. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love, bringing you excerpts from a CME meeting we had at the recent 2026 Gastrointestinal Symposium meeting in San Francisco. This meeting was moderated by Dr. Chris Liu from the University of Colorado Cancer Center in Aurora, Colorado, with faculty members Dr. Stacy Cohn from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, University of Washington, Seattle, Washington, and Professor Jenny Seligman from the University of Leeds, Leeds, United Kingdom. In the meeting, Dr. Seligman first did a presentation on neoadjuvant treatment for localized colorectal cancer, followed by a presentation from Dr. Liu on emerging novel approaches to adjuvant treatment for localized colorectal cancer, and Dr. Cohn finished up with a talk on the role of circulating tumor DNA or ctDNA testing in localized colorectal cancer. For this program, we did a survey of 50 community-based general medical oncologists and asked them to present cases and ask questions of the faculty and picked out the best ones to give to Dr. Liu to pose to his colleagues. For this third and final part of our series, Dr. Liu again presented a number of cases and questions from our community-based survey.
These are real-life cases, and we're going to start really with stage two. I'm going to ask both of you to answer this question. For a 65-year-old with stage two colon cancer, how comfortable are we in recommending chemotherapy, presumably for a patient that we typically wouldn't give stage two colon cancer chemotherapy, but what if they were MRD positive? And Dr. Seligman, if you're kind of left seeing this patient, low-risk stage two, MRD positive, would you allow that to guide your decision making?
I think it's an extremely powerful prognostic tool. I think Galaxy is very convincing. It's a very powerful prognostic tool, and at some point, it will not surprise me if it's added to the TNM. And for that reason, I probably would be quite comfortable doing that. Are we going to get really robust data for this situation? Probably not. But if you really trusted the assay, and I think, again, we have to remember, we have to really trust an assay, then I think that's probably quite reasonable, because I think having being MRD positive is probably more of a predictor of relapse than nodal positivity, for example. So probably, yeah.
Dr. Cohen, same question, but also the last point on the slide is really great. You know, tell us about the practicality of waiting for the test results. So, first question: would you allow the ctDNA results to influence your decision making? And then, tell us what that what the waiting looks like in reality.
So I think stage two is probably like the perfect case point for using ctDNA, because I think our clinical risk factors are poor. We've lumped high-risk disease to include a number of different factors, some of which are more prognostic and some of which are more predictive, but we really don't know the differential benefit. So I think ctDNA is very powerful in that setting. I would say, as has been referenced before, a T4 N0 patient I would treat with adjuvant chemotherapy. And so I would do that sort of regardless of the ctDNA. For anybody who's T3 N0, I feel comfortable getting ctDNA. I feel comfortable waiting for those results. Now, I prefer a tumor-informed approach right now, but if someone is needing a result faster, you know, perhaps you're seeing them already 8 weeks after surgery and you're thinking, I really need to start them in the next couple of weeks. I've also sent more than one test, which I guess is maybe a U.S. approach to the problem, which is to send a tumor tissue-free test that you're going to get more quickly and a tumor-informed test that may be more sensitive. So I think it can be helpful. Certainly, if you get a positive test, I would believe that positive.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like for both of you, and I think it's true for me as well, if I see ctDNA positivity because of the prognostic implication, also with the data that Dr. Cohen showed, that if you can clear it, and I also love to point the fact that adjuvant chemotherapy in its current form isn't a cure-all or fix-all for all patients as well, but the idea of if being able to clear it and clear it kind of in a sustained manner, we know that there's, at least from the Galaxy data, some survival benefit, at least disease-free survival benefit. This is a very, very similar case, but the question being, if assuming all things are approved and you're able to get whatever test, Dr. Seligman, for low clinical risk stage 2, would you check ctDNA on everybody in that scenario?
So, I agree. I think that the MRD is most relevant for stage 2. I think the data that you didn't have time to show was actually for the high-risk patients. You really would not feel comfortable using ctDNA to make decisions. You are going to give chemotherapy. It will be a prognosticator. But really, I completely agree with you. And the road forward for these decision-making tools is going to be with stage 2 patients, because people do relapse. And so I think that would be quite a reasonable thing to do. It's very T3N0, of course, very borderline. And as you say, the other risk factors are really not that helpful. So MRD positivity in that situation, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And combination as well.
Yes. Yep. Agreed. And so, really, really great discussion on stage 2. And I think you're hearing a lot of alignment in terms of kind of how we approach stage 2 and agree about the point that you guys have made also about T4. It's such a high risk factor. It's hard to make de-escalation decisions based off of that. And so to that point, I'm going to ask you guys a question about de-escalation in stage 3. And I think I know what the answer is going to be. But if you take a 72-year-old female with standard risk stage 3 colon cancer that's ctDNA negative, if the patient would prefer not to receive chemotherapy in this setting, do you think it's a reasonable option to omit chemotherapy if the MRD tests are negative? So we talked about escalation. I think that's a much easier question as it pertains to stage 2 in a situation where you typically wouldn't give chemotherapy. Well, what about de-escalation? And we'll start with you, Dr. Cohen.
I would recommend chemotherapy in that setting. And at this point, I still think it's the right recommendation. And as I mentioned before, I don't think adjuvant chemotherapy is for everybody, meaning that a patient still has the right to say, I hear your recommendation, I don't want to do it. In that scenario, I would feel more comfortable if the MRD test was negative. And I might, if they've basically decided that they are not getting chemotherapy, I would ask the reverse question that if it was positive, would they consider doing chemotherapy? And I think at the end of the day, that's a good way to discuss it with your patient who sounds like has sort of already made up their mind that they don't want to have chemotherapy.
Right. And Dr. Seligman, I'm going to ask you the same question. I do love the point about, I have flipped that question on its head and said, it sounds like you don't want to do chemotherapy. If the tests were positive, would that then, get you to actually get chemotherapy? And so, and then if the answer is yes, it would change my decision making, then I usually do send it. So Dr. Seligman.
Well, if the patient doesn't want chemo, they don't want chemo. And I think, well, how helpful is then doing the test if it's not going to influence what you do? So I think we could get to the point where we can do these tests all the time. There is a health economic question here as well. If it isn't going to change what you're going to do anyway, is this information either helpful for you or helpful for your patient?
Yep. No,
I think it's very
absolutely
difficult.
Yes, totally agree. This is a patient with neuropathy in stage 2 colon cancer. An oncotype recurrence score is high. I haven't seen that test done in quite some time. ctDNA for MRD is negative. Kind of similar question about omitting adjuvant therapy. I know we've addressed some of that. Here, the combination of ctDNA and MRD, being negative, with the oncotype recurrence score, there's just no data, right, to guide how to use both of those in combination. But certainly, there's a lot of data with the ctDNA negativity in stage 2 colon cancer with a dynamic trial that Stacey presented. And then a 68-year-old with left-sided colon cancer about to start adjuvant FOLFOX, and initial ctDNA testing is positive. Should the positive ctDNA test at the initiation of adjuvant therapy impact what it is that you do? Dr. Cohen, I know it's always scary, right, when you see that, and certainly we have patients that test ctDNA positive postoperatively.
Right. I think we should make the distinction that if you have, and I know this isn't stated here, but if you had an initial test that was preoperative that was positive, that is not prognostic. But the MRD space is that time window after surgery and before you start chemotherapy. So that is the binary positive negative that pretty much all of these studies are reporting out. So I would take a positive ctDNA at the start of adjuvant therapy to mean that this patient is at very high risk for late recurrence, and I would consider following that. We know that we can get false negatives on chemotherapy just from suppression of the ctDNA shed, so I don't necessarily follow it on chemotherapy, but I have definitely checked it at the three-month mark, because most patients I'm giving 3 months of chemotherapy, and so maybe I'm checking it at 3 months to say if it's still positive, maybe that's going to have me have a conversation with that patient about would they be willing to consider 6 months of chemotherapy. So I think it can be useful in some ways, especially as you're weighing toxicity of treatment versus benefit, but I think at this point, every stage three patient should be getting chemotherapy, including positives and negatives.
Yeah. I'll say in the answer. And Dr. Seligman, would postoperative ctDNA positivity influence anything that you would recommend in the adjuvant setting?
I think, again, we're seeing, so from the IDEA data, mm-hmm. we would be a bit nervous of giving, particularly if you're using FOLFOX, 3 months.
Yeah.
So for T4 and N2, so the high-risk categories, surely ctDNA positivity falls into that category as well. So I think I would be planning to give them at least 6 months 5FU, mm-hmm. maybe dropping the oxaliplatin at 3 months. So I don't think a ctDNA at 3 months would influence at all what I did. And I think we have to be, again, just mindful of ordering tests when it's not going to change what we're going to do. But again, we get more experience as we go along the line of how we should be handling results and how we communicate those results to our patients. It's a scary thing.
Yeah, and really what you're speaking to is this idea of, like, we really need is more data about ctDNA kinetics, rate of clearance, sustainability of that clearance, and then, you know, from there we can start making some treatment decisions. But I think part of the issue is we just don't know, right? Transient clearance we know is bad. Persistent clearance we know is good. But what about the rate and the timing of all that? And it really, really is a completely data-free zone. And I really appreciate your guys' answers, because it really just shows the fact that you're really making treatment decisions based off of very, very limited data. We had already answered some questions about older adults. So this is an 82-year-old that's worried about chemotherapy. You know, would MRD assay results help you with treatment decision making? And I see a little bit of a shaking of the head from Dr. Seligman. Any thoughts about that?
Some decisions don't need an additional test. A patient who is 82 with comorbidities, sure. I'm not going to offer them adjuvant chemotherapy. Okay. Full stop.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what the assay is. I'm not going to offer them adjuvant chemotherapy. That would be inappropriate.
What I really want to end on is a situation that I think more and more practitioners are really dealing with, and that is these two cases, right? So if you have a patient with stage 3 colon cancer, and there are two scenarios here, 6 months of FOLFOX, and they're post-adjuvant therapy, they have a positive ctDNA. The second case is a patient that is ctDNA negative at 1 year, and obviously that's always great when we get that, but then returns low positive, right? And so these are real clinical scenarios, actually dealing with this in clinic even this week. And I would love to hear from both of you what your approach to this is, when these patients come, either completed adjuvant therapy, remain persistently positive, or they're negative and then they turn positive, which is also devastating. So would love to hear what you guys do in this clinical scenario.
So I would say for a ctDNA positive, not necessarily in the MRD space, but now we're somewhere in the surveillance time window. If that patient had had localized disease, I would, of course, offer them a clinical trial for the ctDNA biochemical recurrence if that's available, because there are a few of those studies, and I encourage you to look for them if you're in this scenario. But excluding that, I typically do not give systemic therapy. And the reason why is because I feel like we need to figure out where that recurrence is actually happening. At this point, that patient has not had any documented radiographic recurrence of metastatic disease. So I would start by getting them an imaging study. Typically, I would get their surveillance CT at that time. If that still is unremarkable, I might get them a PET or a PET MR because we know that the liver has the highest shed. But then this would really prompt me to start getting imaging every 3 months maybe instead of every 6 months and trending that ctDNA result. We know that every once in a while you can get sort of a spontaneous clearance, but those are really quite rare, maybe 1% to 2%. So this would really just have me start to put eagle eyes on that patient and say, we think that this person is at very high risk of recurrence and we need to figure out where, because maybe it's an isolated liver metastasis and you just resect it and then you go back to monitoring them. So I'm hesitant to jump in and do systemic therapy because then you don't know how long to treat them, what's your endpoint, when were you successful, did you just most likely just delay time to it showing up again. I would say the flip side, though, is if someone had stage 4 disease, which you treated to NED, and then they had a positive ctDNA, and those patients with prior metastatic disease, I have given systemic therapy to.
Yeah, really, really great answer. And briefly, Dr. Seligman, anything else to add to that?
We don't have, I think the one thing that has been clear here is that ctDNA doesn't replace actually trying to find new strategies to cure more patients. I think it has a place in the treatment algorithm, but we have to remember we need to push the boundaries more. There is more agents coming through, whether it's the ctDNA positive space versus the neoadjuvant space. We will see, but I think the importance here is that we remember that a lot of the agents that were tested in the adjuvant setting were tested a long time ago, probably not using the right endpoints, probably not in molecularly selected populations as we can do now. So I think I'd be hesitant to say none of the agents work in the localized setting. They should work. We know that molecular status is important. So I think we need to continue to be ambitious for our patients, push the boundaries. I don't disagree with anything that you said. I think we need to remember the impact on our patients, though. It's very hard to basically say we know that this is going to be a problem and these results mean something. So again, there's very complex.
Yeah, and this is a field that will evolve tremendously over the next several years and really want to be able to offer every single one of these patients, obviously, a clinical trial because that's really what we need.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to the faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Expert Second Opinion, Optimizing the Use of Immunotherapy MRD Assessment and novel approaches for patients with localized colorectal cancer.